Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I'm here today with my man, Devon Gibbons. He's the guru, the guy who knows a lot about basketball. He's also a host on 97.5 ESPN Radio in Philadelphia. So, you know, if you guys, I'm not just talking about the people who live in the Philly area. Nowadays, you could go online and log on and listen to him. I'm telling you, he's full of knowledge. He knows a lot about the Sixers. He knows a lot about basketball and all sports in general. And I'm just happy to have you on here, bro.
Thanks for having me back, Keith. I had a great time last time, and looking forward to this one.
For this one? So, you know, last time you kind of like dropped knowledge about something. So let's talk about two things. We're going to talk about, you know, tonight. Today's Monday. We're going to talk about tonight's game, but we're all against the Toronto Raptors. But also, let's like first take a look back about, you know, the Sixers' performance. They lost on Sunday, 112-108 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it just seems as if that the Cavs, you know, they were on cruise control a little bit in the first half.
It kind of reminds you of the game earlier in the season where they were on cruise control again.
Yeah.
And the Sixers had the lead for most of the game. Cleveland came back ultimately and took control again. It was late, but they did it again, and it happened right around that 8.5-minute mark of the Cavs game on Sunday, where the Sixers had control. Everything looked pretty good. You can never really rely on the Sixers and feel comfortable when they have a lead, because they've given it up so much in the past over the course of these, what, 17 games that they've had so far. They've given up the lead quite a few times, and it happened to them again. They were up, and then all of a sudden you can see a run coming from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And when Kyrie Irving hit a step-back jumper at some point early on in the fourth quarter to finally give them the 88-86 lead, they never looked back.
But I'm going to ask you this, honestly. Do you think that before the game, a lot of people made a big deal of the Cavs? I mean, are you familiar with their pit stop? They went to Columbus to watch the Ohio State Michigan game.
Absolutely, yep.
They were dancing on the sidelines. They were chilling. Now, some people may say that it's one of those things where, you know, come on, Pompey, if you're trying to find an excuse. But it looked to me they started out missing their first 14 shots, to whereas they thought that this is cruise control. You know what I mean? Like a little bit too much. Do you think that had something to do with it a little bit?
It could have. It's something that you can definitely put in the back of your mind. But then you look back and you just simply say, okay, these are the world champs. Things like this happen where they try to observe. First of all, LeBron James is trying to get everybody involved, right? So Kevin Love just goes nuts early on. Kyrie Irving gets in the mix. LeBron gets in the mix. Then all of a sudden you see that the Sixers have their attention because they get up early. They take the lead early. And as you said, maybe they're on cruise control. But they're the world champs again for the reason that they are, and they have the best player in the game. And they observe. They see what's happening. They see what type of flow the game is. And then that's when they start to pick and choose how they're going to do it. And we've heard early on that LeBron James takes a back seat to his teammates to allow them to get off early, get a gauge on how things are going with the flow of the game, and then decide, okay, this is what we're going to do to win. And that's what they did.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, you talk about Kyrie Irving. He scored 39 points. That was a season high for him.
26 in the second half.
Now, this is the real stat. He had 19 in the fourth quarter. He scored 10 of their first 13 in the fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, they were running the heck out of that pick and roll with him. I mean, he said that that performance was warranted. It was a performance where, hey, the Sixers wouldn't go away. I got to step up. I got to show people that I'm a three-time All-Star.
Absolutely. And again, and not to mention a world champion now. He hit the big shot in Game 7 to pretty much seal the deal for the Golden State Warriors. But you're right. And early on again, LeBron James basically saying, Kyrie, we're going to go as far as Kyrie takes us offensively. He's going to be our leading scorer, all that great stuff. And you're absolutely right. Him scoring that 10 in a row, he did it in a myriad of ways. Three-pointers, drives to the basket, getting one over Joel Embiid, all kind of different ways he did it. And it's just, you just wonder what the Sixers and Brett Brown were thinking. Listen, he's an All-Star. He's an Olympian. He's a world champion, gold medal winner. You're not going to stop Kyrie Irving, but you have to find a way when he's rolling like that, you have to pick and choose how you're going to defend. And if you don't do it right, he's going to destroy you the exact same way that he did yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. True that. But then LeBron, we talked about LeBron, but then he, you know, LeBron had the triple-double where he had 26 points, he had 13 assists, he had 10 rebounds. But, you know, Kevin Love, a third option, 25 points, 11 rebounds, and then Tristan Thompson with 12 points, 12 rebounds, and two blocks. I mean, you know, we're talking about the big three, but, man, for a fourth option, Tristan Thompson, man, that's a solid fourth option right about now.
That's why they paid him the big bucks, 12 points, 12 boards, and they needed him most when they needed those rebounds. Because, look, the Sixers did a great job on the glass yesterday, winning the rebound battle 50-46, but Tristan Thompson coming away with 12 points, 12 rebounds, 5-for-8 from the field. Not known for his scoring, but when he does score, he does it in a different way, simply off of offensive rebounding, which he had 5 offensive rebounds against the Sixers. That crushes you when you get those second chance points. And of course, the Sixers had 15 second chance points, Cavaliers 9. But when your guy, when you know Tristan Thompson is known for his rebounding, more specifically his offensive rebounding, you have to do a better job of getting your body on him. And I know, I'm sure a lot of it had to do when a Jahlil Okafor was on the floor not putting a body on Tristan Thompson, and he's active. Because when Joel Embiid was in the game, Joel Embiid ended the game with 9 rebounds. But when Joel Embiid was in there, he was trying to find him, trying to put that body on Tristan Thompson, making it difficult for him, as you said, as that fourth option. Especially on a day when J.R. Smith is 0-for-11, you need Tristan Thompson's 12 points plus the 12 rebounds to go with what he did. So, again, a fourth option. They paid him what they paid him because they know how valuable he is to their ball club. And he came up big. He came up big in the clutch. He came up big when they needed him. Setting those screens that you talked about. That high pick and roll, it's difficult to keep him off the glass, and you have to honor him, putting that body on him, not for him to score right away, but just getting to that rim, getting to the front of the rim just in case something comes off and being able to put a basket in.
Yeah, and all, you know, that true. And when we talk about the missing the first 14 shots, if you think about something, when they missed their first 14 shots, they couldn't get to the rim because Embiid was in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They had a few blocks.
They had a few blocks. They sub him out. They bring Ja in, and then it became like a layup line. And again, it all wasn't on him. But again, it was, they were not intimidated anymore. They weren't settling for jumpers like they were. So they go from shooting 0-for-14 to 7-for-10 during the stretch. You know, and like you said, it's like the presence of Embiid. I mean, okay, here we are with 17 games in. Now, he's not going to make the – he didn't make the trip for today's game. But you have to be impressed with him, man.
I am. That's the theme, Keith, for me, when – just to take it back real fast to the Cleveland game. That's the theme. Whenever Joel Embiid and Jahlil Okafor play together, but the substitution happens where Okafor comes in for Embiid, that's the pattern.
Yeah.
Go right at Jahlil Okafor because you know he's not the rim protector that Joel Embiid is. Teams are not afraid, as you said. And then when you look at tonight's game and you have two players in DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry who are never afraid no matter who's under the basket, but when you have those two going to the rim and Okafor is your starting center, Rashawn Holmes is as your backup, as you said, layup line.
Yeah.
And that, again, is the theme when Joel Embiid is not in the game.
Yeah.
Just attack the paint because you, more chances than not, you're going to get a good look at the basket, if not for yourself or your teammate.
Yeah, it's one other thing on this last game I want to talk about before we start focusing on tonight's matchup is the three-throw line. I mean, you look at it, you know, we could talk about what Cleveland did and Kyrie did and LeBron, but the Cavs shot 24 for 28 from the foul line. The Sixers shot 7 for 10. Man, that's crazy.
It's bad because the first quarter was 7 free throws for Cleveland, 1 for 3 from the line for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to the second quarter and you look at them, it's the same thing. 7 free throws for the Cleveland Cavaliers, 1 for the Philadelphia 76ers. Third quarter, the discrepancy wasn't that bad because neither of them really got to the line. It was 3 for 4 for Cleveland, 1 for 1 for the 76ers. But again, 9 for 10 in the fourth quarter for the Cleveland Cavaliers, 4 for 5 for the 76ers. So you're right. That discrepancy is just, look, the Cleveland Cavaliers have so many weapons that they can get to the free throw line, whether for themselves or off a pass where the opposing team has to foul them from just simply getting a layup because the pass was so on point from LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, whoever it might be. The Sixers don't really have those players that have the one-on-one games to get by superior defenders and get to the rim on their own where they have to be fouled. J.R. Smith, even though he had an off night, but how many times have we heard Tyronn Lue say he's our best perimeter defender? And outside of LeBron James, he is, because we know mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving, that's not his forte, mm-hmm. that's not his specialty. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the Sixers just have to find a way to get to the basket on their own and try to live at the foul line, because they're not a great shooting team. If Robert Covington is not hitting, if Ilyasova is not hitting from the perimeter, they have to get it down low to Okafor or Embiid. Mm-hmm. And they have to find another way to get points on the board, because so many times where they have these games, like they did yesterday, where they have the lead, every now and then a free throw will help you out, especially mm-hmm. late in the game where you're trying to stop a run from a team, especially a good team like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. When you stop that run, maybe getting to the free throw line, if you're not getting it done in the half court set or you're not getting baskets in the fast break, you have to get to the free throw line to put points on the board. And that will make it easier on them as the season goes on.
Yeah, good one. But before we talk about this game, I want to probably help a little people out with Wednesday's game against the Sacramento Kings. I don't know if people are looking to get tickets for the game and this and that. I know there's a lot of places you can go and get them, but personally, man, you know, I think that SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get guaranteed seats you want for a great value. And I'm gonna hit, you know, some of these people listening to this. You know, I don't know if they know this, but they can get a $20 rebate on tickets if you go and get the SeatGeek app. The SeatGeek app. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't talk. But anyway, in order for you to do that, what you got to do is you have to go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter the promo code LOWSIXERS, and SeatGeek will send you a $20 rebate, you know, once you make, you know, your first purchase. So that'll be good for, you know, the people to do that. But, you know, let's just talk about the road game that they're going to have, before they come back on Wednesday. And it's the Toronto Raptors, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a team that, you know, there's two players that we need to talk about, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. You know, Philly's Kyle Lowry. North Philly's Kyle Lowry went to Northeast. He played at Villanova. I mean,
Cardinal Doherty.
You know, I mean, what can you say about this guy?
Just a fantastic point guard. 16 games, 19.6 points per game. Just doing it in many different ways. Struggled a little bit to start the season, but has pretty much gotten it together. And he is basically the head of the Toronto Raptors. DeMar DeRozan is averaging 30 points a game, playing fantastic basketball. But we know, as Kyle Lowry goes, the Toronto Raptors go. He helped turn that franchise back around, and he's still doing his thing. You know, won a gold medal this summer. Going to be a free agent at the end of the year, so you know he's going to hoop hardcore to make sure he gets that contract done. He's done enough over the past few seasons, I think, where he's pretty much garnered what he's going to get. He's going to get some money, but he's going to be a tough matchup. And again, keeping guys out of the paint is another key for tonight's game. And Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan get to the free throw line quite a bit. DeMar DeRozan has shot 152 free throws this season, made 123. Kyle Lowry, 77 free throws, made 65. So they're shooting both in the 80% clip from the free throw line. So Kyle Lowry, again, just doing what he does, making sure he gets everybody involved. And he's a triple-double threat because he's one of those guards where he likes to get in there, as you said, a Philly guard who's a tough guy, get in there, get his nose in the whole mix, get rebounds. But just running that entire team, he's the consummate professional at the point guard position, and he gets everybody going. And you know that DeMar DeRozan, once he gets going, Kyle Lowry's going to have his eye for him, so he's going to look for him. So for the Sixers, whether it's Jarrett Bayless, they haven't said it yet, was Jarrett Bayless or Sergio Rodriguez, they're going to have a tough run with Kyle Lowry tonight in Toronto.
Yeah, they're going to have a tough run. And the thing is, the other thing is that we're not even mentioning is how they play when Embiid's not on the floor. Now, again, they won one game without him, but, you know, they lose a lot when he's not there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy, they have a pretty nice big in Toronto. I mean, they have a nice guy. So it's going to be a uphill battle on the guard play, and then they can feed it inside.
Yeah, Jonas Valanciunas is a tough matchup because he can score. He's averaging 14 points per game and 10 points. Excuse me, 10 rebounds. Mm-hmm. So it's another thing that Jahlil Okafor is going to have to do by trying to keep – this guy's averaging a double-double in Valanciunas. So you have to keep him off the glass. They like to throw to him in the paint, let him do his work. But sometimes when they get deep, they hit him in right spots where he's one of those rare big men. When you watch Valanciunas, you know how you always hear, keep the ball high. That's what you want your big guys to do. He's one of those rare guys that can catch it high and not bring the ball down, where it allows the smaller players to get their hands in there and try to get those steals. Mm-hmm. So that's something that they have to watch, because he can score in a lot of different ways. And if you allow him to get going, that inside-outside threat is going to be a problem, and things can get ugly real fast.
And the Sixers go there, and they typically struggle. I mean, they go to Toronto, and it's kind of like, whoa, what did we get ourselves into tonight? You know, so it's going to be, you know, something that folks could pay attention to, you know, watching the game tonight to just see how they play. And then they'll come back on Wednesday, and I would love to see Embiid go up against DeMarcus Cousins.
It's going to be a good matchup.
Yeah, great matchup. We're talking about a guy who's going to play him physical, a guy who's going to, you know, he's real temperamental in the game. So it's going to be
– Embiid has shown a little bit of that himself.
Yeah, you know, he has. He really has. But look, man, I really want to thank you for coming on. And I really, you know, and I mean this, I really want you to come on more and more.
Because I appreciate that.
I love your insight. And again, if y'all haven't done it yet, you need to follow this brother on Twitter. Like I said, you need to – you know, listen to him on 97.5 ESPN Radio Philadelphia. But I want you to tell the people two things. I want you to give out your Twitter handle so they can keep up with you there. And secondly, I want you to let people know when you're on 97.5 so where they can tune in and listen.
On Twitter, if you're looking for me, at DevonG975. That's DEVONG975. As a matter of fact, Keith, it's funny enough, we're talking, you know, all sports. I'll be on tonight on 97.5 at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30, as we prepare for the Philadelphia Eagles to take on the Green Bay Packers at home. So I have the pregame show for the Philadelphia Eagles tonight at 6 on 97.5. And you can catch that, 97.5thefanatic.com, if you feel like you want to get some football in before the Sixers and the Raptors tip off at 7:30. I'll be on then, and of course you can catch me next Saturday sometime in the afternoon with a regular, you know, four-hour show, probably leading into the Sixers-Celtics game next Saturday at 7:30, again on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, and I want to thank y'all for listening and tuning in today, and I'll chat with y'all on Tuesday to give you like a little recap of tonight's game. Thank you.